Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Anton, how are you this afternoon? How was your birthday weekend last weekend?
It was awesome, Dave. Made all the better by you saying happy birthday to me. Thank you greatly. I still haven't recovered fully from it. We've had a big week.
Give me a break.
Particularly in the arts, Dave.
The arts. Okay, why? What happened?
The arts, yes. Major Hollywood news, major acting news, major music news. You can decide which of the troika you want to experiment with
Hollywood
first.
Christopher Plummer died this week, I see, at the age of 91 or something thereabouts. Who else?
He did.
Anything
yeah.
else happened?
A good innings. I believe he referred to the movie for which he is most famous only
S&M.
As The Sound of Mucus.
Yeah, The Sound of Mucus. That's right, yeah. And he called it S&M as opposed to The Sound of Music. Yeah, he didn't like it, yeah.
The Screen Actors Guild has lost one of its most significant members.
Yeah, okay. I think I might have read
this somewhere. Another big orange Wally, as he's now only known because we don't have to call him president anymore, has resigned from SAG-AFTRA, which is, of course, the Screen Actors Guild in America, the day before they were due to feck him out. In the first instance, I think, of the Screen Actors Guild rejecting somebody for creating sedition against the government of the United States. I'm sure they've had people thrown out for not paying their dues before, but this is a first. He wrote a tetchy letter to the union saying, "I no longer wish to be associated with the union, with your union. As such, this letter is to inform you of my immediate resignation. You have done nothing for me. Thank you."
Wow. And they said thank you back. That was the only thing they said, wasn't it? Thank you.
That was the only thing.
The Screen Actors Guild. So was he actually sacked for sedition of some sort? Is that the point?
Yes, he was sacked for, and if you get bored, by the way, there's a piece on the New York Times website currently which tracks mobile phones in Washington on the day, and it does it as a live animation, and it's amazing to watch because you see all the people go from the stage where he gave his speech to the Capitol where they did their attacking.
Yeah.
But that's what the Screen Actors Guild is objecting to, that whole treason, sedition, attempting to overthrow the United States government, all of those things that are seen as bad.
All right, and you know two things about it that I found very strange, because I do know this story. First of all, he gets a pension.
He gets a pension
from the Screen Actors Guild and will forever. And also, while you're allowed to be called Mr. President long after you leave the White House, you can't sign things. And he signed it, President Donald J. Trump.
I didn't know that. You're a president emeritus. You can't use the title anymore.
Yeah, well, you can't use the title for signing something like that. I mean, people will call you Mr. President and you're allowed to be called Mr. President, or it's protocol or whatever the word is, yeah.
That is amazing. I never realised that. Well, it is a huge loss to the Screen Actors Guild either way, because as he says in the
Home
letter...
Home Alone 2, yeah. This big scene in Home Alone 2 down the corridor.
Don't you mock, Dave. It is a rich canon that DJ Trump leaves behind him. As he says himself, "I am very proud of my work on movies such as Home Alone 2, Zoolander, and Wall Street Money Never Sleeps, and television shows including The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Saturday Night Live, and of course one of the most successful shows in television history, The Apprentice, to name just a few."
Wow, okay. So he still hasn't, well, he hasn't changed, basically.
No, which is nice. It's good to know he's doing well in retirement, keeping the old chin up and being the guy that we've all learned to love. In other arts news, we have an album release that finally we found one to rival Brian Eno's Music for Airports. A US toddler has released
their debut. Have you ever listened to the Music for Airports and all those things? I think he's going to release one, Music for Toilets or something, where you're sitting in a certain, you have a speaker in the cistern and all this kind of stuff. It's really weird.
I had a copy of Music for Airports on cassette tape at one point.
Yeah, and Taking Tiger Mountain by Strategy. Brilliant. Seriously. What are you laughing at? It's very good.
Well, how else would you take Tiger Mountain? You're not going to get the whole thing with just tactics, Dave. This is where, effectively, if Gilmore and Waters hadn't fallen out, this is where we would have ended up. A couple in the States, Elizabeth Hart, who is a member of psych rock band Psychic Ills, and musician Ivan Diaz-Mate.
Oh, yeah, Psychic who has worked Ills.
Indeed. They're from
New York. Yeah, in fact, the main guy died last year. I can't remember his name. I can't remember his name. Warner, was it? I have no idea. Anyway, go on.
Well, she is a member of his band, the late, possibly Warner's band, and Ivan Diaz-Mate, who has worked with Lee Scratch Perry. Both of them were having a baby. The baby now exists and is called Luca Yupanqui. But when Luca was in vitro, is that correct? Yes. Mm-hmm. They used microphones placed around Elizabeth Hart's abdomen to record the whoa, 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 noises that a baby makes. And they then looped them and sampled them into an album which has been released in the
childhood. That was very good what you did there. It sounded like a didgeridoo.
Thanks very much. It's actually whale.
Oh, very good. That's like in Finding Nemo, like a whale.
Exactly. You don't speak whale. Maybe that's humpback. We'll take a break from arts for a moment because there is also
Wait a second. They're going to release an album. Psychic Hills or somebody in Psychic Hills is going to release an album.
No, Luca Upanqui is going to release an album, Dave. Pay attention.
Of a Psychic Ill baby. I mean, like
a Psychic Ill baby. The second generation of Psychic Ill.
Right, very good. Okay.
And Upanqui is a fan of her own work, according to her parents. They say her awareness of what was happening during the mixing sessions was astounding. She would open her eyes wide and stare at her parents, seemingly recognizing her own sounds from the womb, knowing that they were revisiting those rituals that made them come together.
Do they have
one.
A kind of a permanent ultrasound thing going on, like 24 hours a day? Is that it?
I think they had a lot of ultrasound scanning. And then I think it's a bit like, you know, go back to Moby in his warehouse. I think the two of them sat down with a load of samplers and 808s and they had the little kid in the corner and then they went and they put it all together and the kid sat wide eyed going, I know those noises. Those were the noises of my world.
Yeah, okay.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
In non-arts news, or do you want more arts?
No, go right ahead, whichever you prefer.
Well, let's stay on music.
It's your birthday month.
Have you seen that Jamaica's running out of weed?
I did. I saw that the weather is really bad and there's going to be a weed shortage all over the world in terms of Jamaican weed, yes.
They're describing it as a cultural embarrassment. I think it's pushing the boat out a bit far, but fair play to the lads.
God, I've got great stories about weed and Bob Marley on stage in Daily Man Park when I was doing stage announcements and he was the funniest thing ever. Seriously, I think there was Dave Edmonds and there was Slim Chance and there was, I don't know who, some of the faces or something were playing and I had to announce the bands and I had to knock on his little cabin that he had on the side of the stage and say, listen, do you want to be announced on stage? And seriously, he opened the door. I met Bob Marley. He opened the door and this smoke just... It was like the place was on. It was fantastic. Like the place was on fire. And he said, no thanks, man. The I3s go out and they'll do it. Basically, the three backing singers go out first and then like everybody goes, Ray, and then Bob walks out. So he didn't need me to say, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Dublin. So anyway, I met Bob.
What did he have a special made little cabin that they kept him in?
There was a kind of a little cabin thing at the start of the stage. In fact, a good friend of mine played football with them beforehand. It's all in what do you call the 42? Is that what it's called? Yeah, the kind of GAA, the sporting thingamabob. And the whole story is in there from about 6 weeks ago, or sometime in 2020, because it was an anniversary of it or something. 40 years or whatever. So, he played football with them beforehand and the guy comes along and says, you can't play football here. So Bob had to take his ball and brought it home and my friend brought home his pullovers.
Do you know the great thing about this conversation so far, Dave?
I don't.
No women, so it's not dragging on.
Oh, I think I saw this. Some Japanese guy. Yeah,
Some Japanese guy, yes.
You really got to watch what you say these days. You know? I think if I remember rightly, he kind of pull back on it and dug the hole even more or something.
It's political correctness gone mad, Dave. Do you know? It's cancel culture writ large. It's the libs ruining free speech. The man said what we all know, that you can't hold an L board meeting with women involved without them wrecking the whole thing by talking too much.
Yeah, right.
And suddenly he's anathema and everybody's criticising him. The man is Yoshiro Mori. He is the chair of the Japanese Olympic Committee. And speaking at an extraordinary Olympic Committee, he said that women have a strong sense of rivalry. If one female member raises her hand to speak, all the others feel the need to speak too. Everybody ends up saying something. And he went on to say, somebody told me that if we increase the number of women on the board, we'll also have to restrict their speaking time to an extent. Otherwise, they'll never stop, which is problematic.
Was he wearing a mask when he said all this? At least, yeah. Okay.
Isn't it wonderful? Like, and you look at it and you go, well, he's 83. And then you think, well, even in 1950, that was a stupid thing to say and he would have been 30. It's one of the...
What? You disagree with it?
Among the thunderously moronic things that anybody in a position of power has said, it's up there. He has backed off it a little by saying that the women on the board who talk too much are also very valuable and saying that their on point remarks are of great help to us. But he has refused to resign.
He said all this, then he said, by the way, women are very valuable. Fantastic.
Correct.
Let him off.
If you wade through all of the dross, buried within there is a gem or two. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he's getting at.
Right, yeah, indeed, absolutely.
Could you eat 14 pounds of oranges in one sitting?
Oh, here you go with your pounds again. How many oranges in a pound?
How many oranges? It depends on the size of the orange, but I'm going to say two.
Okay, two, really? So two. Satsumas would be about six.
Well, a navel orange, I'd say, would be about 3/4 of a pound.
Navel orange, okay, fair enough. All right, go on. So tell me.
Do you know why they call navel oranges navel oranges?
God, because they used to eat them on big, huge HMSS something, no?
No, because they look like they got navels.
Oh, that kind of navel.
Yes. Four travellers have eaten.
We did a programme once on the radio where we just had a subject for everything and people had to ring in all the time, you know, like sort of days of the week or, you know, whatever. And there was one, oh God, why did I start this? There was one.
That sounds like a very good show.
No, yeah, it was a brilliant show. It had colours one week. Somebody said, what do you call that crowd? What do you call the crowd? Did YMCA? What do you call them?
The village people.
Do the village people in the Navy. Anyway, go on, move on.
I remember once having to get 20 minutes on air out of The Colour Black. I was praying for death by the end of it. You know the Mark Twain quote when he was on a boat feeling seasick and somebody said, "Don't worry, nobody's ever died of it." And he said, "Don't tell me that. It's the only thing that was keeping me going." It was one of those moments. Anyway, yeah. 14 pounds of oranges is what each individual of a four-member group had to eat when they were stopped transporting their oranges through a Chinese airport. The four men gobbled 66 pounds of oranges in 30 minutes at Kunming Airport. And if you pay attention, you'll see that my maths is just as bad as you would imagine. They had tried to bring a giant box of fruit back home from a business trip. No, I have no idea why you would want 66 pounds of oranges at a business trip. But when they got to the airport, they got told, "I'm sorry, you'll have to pay the equivalent of $46 to transport them as large luggage." So they said, "Tell with you, going to eat them."
Would they not have handed them out to all the other passengers? You can't eat that many oranges. It wouldn't be good for you.
Apparently, they were left with painful sores in their mouths after the exercise. Right. One assumes from, what is it, citric acid? I don't get why you'd want to. If you gave me the choice between saying you can lose 16 pounds of oranges or you can eat 16 pounds of oranges,
you would take the former.
You would, yeah. It's not a positive experience, no matter how you slice it.
Do you know an amazing thing about an orange?
No,
but first of all, people have tried and failed to use it as a rhyme in a song. You can't rhyme anything with
it. Yes, you can. George Carlin did it.
You know that story. Okay. Can we tell that some other time? Because I have a much better.
Sorry.
Okay, do you know why an orange is called an orange?
No.
Because you probably think because it's got the colour orange. It's the other way around. The colour orange. Oh, God, I hope I'm right about this. Because oranges are orange. The colour. Oh God! That shovel the Japanese guy was using earlier on, who was wearing a face
mask. No, please.
He just lent it to me.
So you're saying the colour orange derives from the fact that the fruit is called orange?
I think so. I'm confusing myself.
Well, I've got an interesting orange fact that you may not know. You can't plant an orange and grow another one.
Really? Can you?
Yeah. Oranges are all Frankenstein trees. And again, this is a bit like your colour thing. This is, you know, when you're in the mists of half-remembered truths that you hope is right. As far as I know, the rootstock of an orange tree comes from one species of orange, onto which you graft the head of another orange, and that's what gives you your tree.
I didn't know that.
If you then take the fruit and plant it, you grow the top tree, not the bottom tree, and the top tree has crappy rootstock and won't grow the same oranges again. So you have to artificially make orange trees.
That's incredible.
Thanks, Dave. 66 pounds of oranges eaten by these four lads. Yeah. I thought this would lead us to Cool Hand Luke.
Cool Hand Luke. Oh, yeah, that's right. The eggs. He ate the eggs.
Indeed.
Yeah, right, okay, yeah.
So I looked up the record.
Of what? How many oranges to eat?
Eggs.
Eggs to eat. Oh, yeah, that sounds horrible.
Tangential, but nonetheless related.
Go on. So how many?
The Guinness Book of World Records has stopped doing gluttony as a thing, I think because people exploded and got ill. So the only records that they now keep is speed records. And I was intrigued to discover that a woman in the 2021 Guinness Book of World Records, up to date, most recent version, has shattered the record for speed eating of pickled eggs. She ate...
What is now the record then?
Well, let's start with what it was, Dave. The record was 28 seconds.
I really need to. Do you remember the guy that was running all the time in his trousers? Was he eating eggs at the same time? Try that for the Guinness Book of Records. Because you had that about 6 months ago. Do you remember him? He didn't run in shorts. He ran in normal kind of jeans.
The guy who was running all the time in his trousers. Yes, there was a man doing marathons in blue jeans. I can't remember why. Dave. How do you remember this dross? Anyway, the previous record for pickled eggs was 28 seconds.
Okay. So what do you mean the previous record? 28 seconds what? 28 seconds?
28 seconds to eat three pickled eggs. Oh, three is the number. Three. I don't know why they picked three, but that's what you have. You have three pickled eggs. How fast can you eat them? 28 seconds was the previous record. Guess what she did it in?
26 seconds.
Seven.
7 seconds. Three pickled eggs.
Three pickled eggs.
Okay, that is incredible. What an amazing fact. Any more stories?
She did it by swallowing them all. Whole.
Oh, right, okay.
Can you imagine trying to swallow a whole pickled egg?
No.
Texas is warning that Chucky's on the loose.
Chucky, oh yeah, the movies, yeah. What are they called?
Child's Play.
Child's Play, that was it, yeah. There's about 100 Chucky. Well, there's Bride of Chucky and Seed and Curse and Cult and all that. There's loads of Chuckies. I saw the first one. Yeah, I never saw another one. They're dreadful.
Have you seen Tenet?
I have.
It is amazing, Dave. Why did you not tell me about it?
Wait a minute, hold on a second. Not only did I think Tenet was, listen, Christopher, you've gone one step too far this time, but actually it's not even that good, really, you know. I'd say you'd have to see it about four times. I saw it once and went, really?
I'm now up to my third, and I brought a notebook to the last one. Amazing, Dave. It is amazing.
So is it making total sense in terms of time travel and all the rest to you?
There are some loose ends that need to be tied up, but that's why God gave us Reddit.
Putting it monthly. Monthly?
Putting it monthly, okay. Bluntly. I'll come back in March. We'll do this again with feeling. It's a very Christopher Nolan response.
Bluntly.
The Texas Department of Public Safety has, according to The Guardian, raised a few eyebrows in the Lone Star State by reportedly sending out an emergency alert asking citizens to keep an eye out for Chucky.
Okay, and sorry, okay, that's stupid.
It is, yeah. And when people complained and said, you can't text everybody's phone in the state and say that there's a 3 foot, 1 inch doll on the loose for kidnapping, their response was, and I'm not making this up, this alert is a result of a test malfunction. We apologise for the confusion this may have caused and are diligently working to ensure it doesn't happen again.
So somebody just did it as a laugh. And
correct. How do you diligently work to go over and belt the lad who put that on the emergency alert and say, Frank, one more time and we're taking away your computer?
And by the way, the next movie is when Chucky meets the IRA. It's called Chucky.
I love it. I'll give you one quick one before we go.
Yep, go ahead.
The Italian mob in Naples have threatened to murder ambulance drivers who turn on their sirens. Can you guess why?
I haven't got a clue.
Because it sounds exactly like the police and it's causing business to fall off whenever they hear it because people run away and won't buy their drugs.
Okay,
so they have literally told...
Naples is really a pretty strange place for drugs, all right, no question about it, so I believe. But more importantly, because I laughed last week at your story of the ambulance and the guy who stole it and went to a supermarket and said, that's a really boring story, you're now determined probably what, to get an ambulance story in every week, is that it?
I was kind of thinking there might be something in it. Either that or Neapolitan drugs. I'll think on it and come back to you next week.
All right. Good man, Anton. Thanks.
Bye, Dave.
Goodbye.
Dave Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.